This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the Syngenta Agronomy Team in the Midwest. You can keep up with the latest crop management advice from Syngenta by visiting their No More, Grow More blog and by signing up for their regionalized twice-monthly digest. Volatility is through the roof in Class 3 milk futures. And with that increased volatility comes an increased need to manage risk. We're talking dairy trade today in the second hour of today's AgriTalk.
Live from the Pro Farmer Studios in Cedar Falls, Iowa, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today on the show, pour a cold, tall glass of 2% to get ready for Robin Schmall of Ag Dairy. We'll have the Kerry Artak Attack in the final segment, and as always on Monday, Jack Scoville for the Price Futures Group with our trader's perspective. I'm your slightly less handsome newsman, John Harith, and now here's your host, Chip Flory.
I don't know how many people know John and how many people know Davis, but you're being pretty generous there with that slightly thing.
All right, a lot less handsome.
I'm so sorry, John. It came out. I said it before I realized what I was saying.
But you're right.
Well,
I'll own it.
Yeah, I think I'll own that too. Oh, well, you had a good weekend.
I did have a good weekend.
Yes.
Much at your expense, and that's all right.
That's right. That's right. But I had a good weekend too. I said it this morning. I'm going to say it again. A shout out to my son Thomas and his new bride Bailey. My youngest is now married.
Hey, congrats to you and Tom and Bailey.
Yes, yes.
And Sue, especially.
You got that right. You got that right. Yeah, can you believe it? The youngest. When the youngest gets married, that's kind of like all of them. So is that like mission accomplished then?
So like some remodeling at the Flory house now or some big vacations in the future?
I did not wait for that. The remodeling has already happened. Their rooms have been converted for a while now.
Oh, okay.
Like 18 years and one day is when the remodeling started.
That's when to do it.
That's right. That's right. Okay, buddy, let's. We've already got Jack on the line, so let's get to it. Let's get to the news. What's going on?
Well, export inspections of wheat in the week ending September 19th of just over 476,000 metric tons lined up with trade expectations, but failed to provide much support for wheat futures. Wheat traders are now in a buy spring wheat, sell winter wheat mode. Heavy rains on a harvest-ready spring wheat crop, a part of the reason for the spread action. In the Black Sea region, weekend weather saw some frost in areas of Russia, Ukraine, and Eastern Europe, but damage to spring crops was reportedly light. December hard red futures were a penny lower at 406.5. December soft red futures slipped 1.25 to 483. December spring wheat, 12.75 cents higher at 537.
And this is what happens when you get the momentum going behind some of the spread trade, especially between the different wheat flavors. When you start to favor spring wheat over the winter wheat, the momentum can get crazy and you get a few more rains up in the Dakotas and boom, big move in the spread like we saw today.
All right, Chip, you wrote this line. I'm going to let you read this line because it reads like a Chip line. I can't give it the impunity that you will.
All right. Well, I'll give it to you here. Corn export inspections in the week ended September 19 stunk.
Well, there you go. Just 234,000 metric tons were shipped from the U.S. That was below the lowest trade expectations. And yes, it stunk. Most areas, see, I just can't give it that weight. Most areas of the Midwest will see above normal temps and potentially well above normal rains in early October. While that will help late planted corn reach maturity, some weather watchers are starting to express concern over a repeat of 2018's exceptionally wet harvest season. Mm. December corn futures 2.5 cents higher at 373.25. March corn gained 2.5 cents to 384.25. May corn closed at 392, up 2.5 cents.
You know, this is crazy. Some areas of the Corn Belt have already got record amount of rainfall for a year.
Hmm.
There's like 100 days left. I mean, it's crazy the amount of rain. And water's climbing back up on top of I-29 again. This is...
Yeah.
Think about how many bushels we left in the field a year ago because of those heavy fall rains. I hope we don't go through that again.
Yeah, hopefully that spigot turns off in time.
Yeah.
Well, bean futures were higher, but the market did close well below session highs. Early strength was built on reports that China will allow tariff-free imports of an additional 35 million to 70 million bushels of U.S. soybeans. That talk of increased bean demand from China came after last week's round of trade talks that were said to have achieved a good outcome. Also supporting bean prices were dry and getting drier conditions in Brazil's primary bean areas and the risk of a soggy harvest season here in the U.S. Yep. Midwest. November bean futures were 9¾ cents higher at 8.92½. January beans jumped 9½ cents at 9.06 even. March beans closed at 9.17, up 8¼ cents on the day.
Yeah, if you didn't catch the first hour of AgriTalk this morning, go back and listen to it. You can go to the AgriTalk app or agritalk.com and listen to it. The first segment where I talked with Kirk Hands from BAMWX.com. The weather situation here is concerning, but it's just as concerning down in Brazil in the prime bean growing areas.
So growers in the U.S. hope he's half right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is par for a weatherman. Friday's cattle on feed report with a 2.7% drop in the number of cattle on feed from a year ago helped the cattle complex push to the upside today. October cattle were $2.50 higher at 10.85. And 101.85, and December cattle futures jumped 262.5 to close at 107.77.5. October feeders were 205 higher at 141.25. China's pork imports were up 76% from August of last year, building confidence that the country will continue to ramp up pork imports through the end of the year. October hogs were 60 cents higher at 60.95. December hogs jumped 212.5, closing at 68.37.5.
All right, John, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group, is with us now. Jack, beans had a pretty good day, closed off the highs, but still, we're not gonna toss this Monday back, are we?
Oh no, we'll take it. It would have been nice to close a little higher, but geez, really just what the doctor ordered. Of course, the demand news was fabulous. Taking China taking 10 cargoes, and the chart, the talk that the talks went well last week, and they're going to meet again in October, hopefully to get things pushed even farther along. And then when you look at the charts, with the close the way it is, closing just on top of Friday's high, and it makes you think that maybe we had a breakout to the upside of a potential bull flag.
Okay. You feeling pretty good about these grain markets as we get the week started?
I think any of the ag markets, and I include the tropicals, any of these markets are acting a lot better than they were in the last, just a few weeks ago. Something's clearly changed here, even with the funds still trying to sell some of the corn or what have you. They're not really getting away with it like they were a few months ago. So there is change in the air. I can't quite put my finger on it. Of course, we know what some of it is with the situation here. But there's... when you look at the charts, when you analyze the price action, it's a much better market. I like it a lot more.
Yeah, and fundamentally, it feels like there's a better attitude about the market since these talks with China. And, yeah, they're deputy level, whatever you want to call them, but that's where the work gets done, and it feels like there is some work getting done, right?
Yeah, I think so. Despite what Trump was saying on Friday, I think the U.S. would be very happy to take a partial deal. he needs the farm vote. I think we can't forget that, and that's how he got there in the first place. And when you look back at it, he has not treated the farmer very well over the last 2.5 years. He's got to do something for these guys, and maybe this is a start in the right direction.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
And next week, Jack, we're going to have the quarterly grain stocks report to talk about. So we'll cover that. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, that's my goodness. Jack's. We're going to have headlines about the butt. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Jack. Jack Scoville. We got Robin Schmall up next. I'm joined by Mike Leach, Agronomy Service Manager for Syngenta. Mike, what should growers keep in mind as they make their weed management plan for 2020?
There's several principles that we need to consider. Number one, diversity. Utilize cover crops. Maybe it's inter-row cultivation. Obviously, crop rotation is a good diversification tool. Think about narrow rows. Think about higher plant populations that will outcompete weeds. Always, always, always start clean. Don't let the weeds get ahead of you. Always use a two-pass approach. our data would show there's always more yield in a two-pass approach. And use herbicides that have multiple effective modes or mechanisms of activity or sites of action within the product. The whole idea is to keep weeds from going to seed, feeding the seed bank.
And, Mike, when you make that two-pass approach, use the full label rates, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cutting labels is like cutting the nose off to spite your face. It makes
exactly.
absolutely no sense.
Exactly. Okay, so tell me more about which herbicide programs you'd recommend.
With Syngenta and our corn portfolio, it would be a product like Acuron, Acuron Flexi, Lumax EZ, Lexar EZ. We've got a large portfolio that we can put together, a very flexible and affordable weed management program. In soybeans, it's much the same. We have Broadex XC, Boundary 6.5 EC, as well as Prefix. All of those are good, effective products that contain good, effective sites of action for soybeans. And then combine that with our new product, Tavium, plus Vapor Grip technology, or utilize the FlexStar GT. We've got great choices.
And when you apply the right product, apply it right, correctly. Don't make the mistake of some wrong applications.
Chip, I can't emphasize that enough. What has traditionally happened is we're trying to keep things simple on the sprayer. And for example, if a grower applies Tavium plus Vapor Grip and then switches to FlexStar GT, for example, in another field, you have to change the technique, the volume, the pressure, the nozzle type, all of those things so that we get the best deposition for the herbicide that's in the tank.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta sharing recommendations on how to take back control of your weeds next season. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron, Lexar EZ, Lumax EZ, and Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology are restricted use pesticides. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more.
So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community.
Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Chip. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Jack Scoville said it pretty well. When you look at all the ag markets, he said, including the tropicals, there has been an apparent change of attitude in those markets. We've got increased volatility. We've got some prices that are moving to the upside, some chart pictures that have improved dramatically. And out in front of it, Class 3 milk futures were out in front of it and made a move to the upside and changed the attitude earlier than what we've seen in corn, soybeans, and some of the other ag markets. So we're going to talk about what's going on in that market right now. We've got Robin Schmall with Ag Dairy LLC. Robin, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Yeah, same here. I'm fine. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's been too long. We need to get you back in a regular rotation here and keep everybody up to speed on what's going on in the dairy market. And there's been a lot happening in Class 3 milk prices, a lot happening in cheese prices. You look at where we were a month ago, Robin, and it's a lot different picture, isn't it?
A lot different from the beginning of September. I mean, I'm talking about closer Class 3 contracts like the October, because September is pretty well priced, but October, within the course of about 2 weeks, we increased the $2 a hundredweight. And that's just, magnum opus or whatever has happened. We haven't seen that volatility for a number of years. The last time we saw similar moves, but over a longer period of time, was in 2015, after we came off of our records in 2014.
Right. Right. So what's behind this? Is it demand side? Is it supply side? Do we have both working together? What's going on?
Well, there's a lot of it has to do with a little bit of psychology perception. We did see there's some concern there about feed quality and feed amount, you know, coming through this year. Quality per se for high quality alfalfa that we'd be looking at is really going to be tight this year.
Okay.
It's really not been fueled by the farms that have gone out of business, which a lot of them have in the last year and so far this year, because as farms have gone out of business, milk production per cow has increased, and so we're pretty well holding fairly well. So it hasn't been from any expansions, whatever. It's just increasing on production per cow. Now, part of what seems to be happening is, or has happened, still continues to happen, is you have this back and forth a lot of times in dairy where cheese buyers will hold back as during the spot trading during the day, and sellers keep bringing stuff to the market. Mm-hmm. Once the sellers stop, then the buyers will step back in, and then at times, as the buyers become a little more aggressive because they have orders they need to fill, or they just want to regain or gain more ownership, then they'll start being a little more aggressive. Well, then what happens, it gets to a certain level, and they're still not getting a lot offered to them. Now it starts pulling other buyers off the sideline that were waiting, you know, to buy as they needed, and we get this what I call a leapfrog effect. They try to outbid each other.
Yep.
And then it starts driving that market higher, and as it keeps driving higher, the sellers just keep holding back.
Right.
Once their needs are filled, those aggressive buyers, then at times you'll see a little bit of a void under the market, and that's what we saw. And then, well, I should say a lot of void this time, because we went up quite a bit and we came rocketing right down. So in the course of 3 days, we saw two limit moves, one limit up, one limit down.
Jeez. Crazy. Crazy. And when you get this kind of volatility that comes back into the market, Robin, like you said, we haven't seen it for a long time in the dairy trade. You can't ignore it. You've got to pay attention to the moves and make some moves to manage the risk, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's always better in all marketing is if you want to take positions to sell as far as protecting a corn price, bean price, milk price, what have you, is to pick those points and do the selling on the way up. It's always very difficult to chase.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question about it. What about the trade issues, Robin, the tariff war with China? And, you know, let's say, let's hold USMCA back for another conversation. Just focus on China and some of the other trade issues that we've got around the world. What kind of an impact has that had on dairy prices?
Well, price-wise, it hasn't had as much of an impact as initially was anticipated. Right. However, volume-wise, it has made an issue. So when we look at what's traded every day on the spot market, the underlying cash, we've got the block cheese, barrel cheese, dry whey, butter, and non-fat dry milk. We saw movement and quite a bit of volatility in cheese, but we didn't see much of it in the other three categories. And so then we look at sales or exports to China, particularly in the African swine fever, has had a lot of impact on some of our, well, our exports of dry whey to them or whey products.
Right.
But then it was also a decrease in some of the other areas, too, because of the export tariffs. So just as an example, in July, well, let me back up the first half of the year, whey exports to China were down 58% from the previous year, okay. First half of the year. When we came to July, then it's a combination of milk powders, non-fat, skim milk powder, cheese, whey, lactose, and butter fat to China were down 35% from a year ago.
Okay.
With the total of the whey exports were down 41%. So when you take a look at that, how much that has decreased,
yep.
And then you look back at the cash markets, that's why whey has been pretty much dead in the water for a long time,
okay.
Because we have that backed up into our system. We're starting to see non-fat dry milk start to come to life a little bit now. Cheese exports to China weren't like a large volume, so it hasn't impacted that as much. And in fact, cheese exports are still running 3% ahead of last year up through July. So that's one of the few areas that in the export market for dairy that's still showing a positive gain. And that's what's translated over into more of the strength stemming into the Class 3 futures, not so much into others, but that's a part of it. But a lot of the part of it is what's perception is coming for the year, what are we looking at coming into the holiday period, and the trader psychology. Traders always have a tendency to look over their shoulder.
Right.
So as we weren't moving too much, and there still are having quite a bit of discount in later contracts, where normally there's a little bit of a premium, they're holding almost a $2 discount into contracts in 2020. They're waiting to see. The market has to prove itself. All through the last 4 years, hey, if we put any premium in that market, it had to come out because prices didn't perform.
Right.
And that's another part of the reason why we can see these things rocketing higher, because they have to converge to cash, especially when cash doesn't fall back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Change in attitude. We talked last week at the University of Wisconsin with Mark Stevenson about a change in attitude toward dairy fat, butter fat, milk fat in general in the domestic market. And Robin, I don't know if it's a fad or if it's what it is, but boy, there's a much greater acceptance of dairy fats now than what there was a year ago.
Yeah, some of these things go in cycles.
Yeah.
And I think you get through these different cycles and allegations and everything that happens. And when it really comes down to it, you know, what consumers want is flavor. And when they realize that some of the fats that are in the natural, you know, aren't the responsibility for some of the problems that initially were said there were,
yeah.
It comes down to flavor. And that's what they are. And that's why when you go to I'll just use the term high-end restaurant. Well, McDonald's, this is a high-end restaurant, but they switched over to butter.
Yeah.
So you saw some of the other fast foods doing that. But high-end restaurants, they won't use anything else. They need to have that flavor because they need to use butter.
Right. Yeah, and if you're going to make that customer happy, you give them what they want, and it's pretty impressive. And the other thing that Mark talked about last week was when you talk about fluid milk consumption, yeah, it's been a struggle here in the U.S., but it's the 2% and the whole milk that is bringing back. I can't hardly believe that we're saying it, but it's bringing back fluid milk consumptions here in the States.
Yeah, there was a study, I think, or a survey done just last week I read about that showed something like 76, that's what comes to my mind, or whatever, adults that were surveyed. And you don't know how, I don't know how big the survey was, but said that they prefer milk.
Yeah.
Over some of these others alternative, and I hesitate to use the word milk.
Yeah, but they're talking about sports drinks. I think that was about sports drinks, and they're talking about in their recovery from a workout.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really cool. We've got more conversation coming up with Robin Schmall from Egg Dairy LLC next.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at December hard red spring wheat futures today. The HRS market has been in a long-term downtrend, with the spring 2019 rally carrying nearby futures up to trend line resistance around $5.50 per bushel. Conversely, the summer drop carried the NOVA contract down to 10-year lows at 486.5 around Labor Day. And despite a lack of bullish news, the market has lately posted an increasingly impressive surge. After topping its 40-day moving average last Thursday, it kept climbing and closed at 537.75 today. The move topped seemingly tougher resistance at the spring low of 530, thereby implying even more upside potential. It's facing resistance at the long-term downtrend line, but falls of gain certainly can't be ruled out.
All right. We'll watch for that. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the DC Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And welcome back. I'm Chip Lorre, host, and we are talking with Robin Schmall today from Ag Dairy LLC. Before we get back to the conversation with Robin, let's recap how the markets did today. December hard red futures were a penny lower at 406.5. December soft red futures slipped a penny and a quarter to 483. The Dece spring wheat futures were about 12.5 cents higher today on that spreading. December corn futures 2.5 cents higher at 373.25. March corn gained 2.5 cents to close at 384.25. Novi bean futures 9.75 cents higher at 892.5. January beans jumped 9.5 cents to 906 even. October cattle with 2.5 bucks higher at 101.85. October feeders 205 higher at 141.25. And October hogs 60 cents higher at 60.95. Like I said, we're talking with Robin Schmall from Ag Dairy LLC. Today we were talking about some of the trends in domestic consumption. But Robin, let's talk about North American consumption and USMCA. It feels to me that we could gain some more upside momentum in cheese prices, in milk prices, if we can get this USMCA signed and get trade back to as close to normal as we can get it between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico.
Yeah, it would go a long way in helping. You know, we are still doing some business with them, but business is never the same until you got all things settled and all cleared.
Right.
But yeah, you know, anything's going to help. Stuff like this drags on for so long, but that will help, as well as the just a little on a side note, what the agreement they're looking at doing with trade as far as Japan is concerned, because they're a larger consumption of dairy products as well. You know, all those things can help, and yes, that would help provide more of a floor under this market, and just maybe get us into that position where we can confidently say, finally, we're out of that 4.5-year hole.
Right, right. You know, hey, back to the supply side real quick, Robin. You were talking about that the increases in production per cow are offsetting some of the dairies that have gone out of business. But our cow numbers are still down from where we were a year ago, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Cow numbers are down. If we're looking at the whole United States, from a year ago, we're down about 70,000 head.
Okay.
Across the country, but yet on production per cow, we're seeing production per cow. This is on the last report for August, which was last week.
Okay.
19 pounds above a year ago per cow. So the dairy farmers are doing a very good job getting production out of the cow. They're cranking those tails once more, try to get a few more squirts out of there. They're doing a good job balancing rations.
Robin, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's not how they do it.
No, I know it.
Sorry.
I dairy farm for quite a while, so I know how to do it out.
I know. Oh, shoot. That's good. You know, so is that... what do you think it is? Is it nutrition? Is it genetics? Is it yes to that? What?
It's both.
Yeah.
Good job, nutrition. Genetics are playing a big part in it, because you've always been looking at, you know, you're always trying to improve those genetics.
Yeah.
So it is a big part. The other part of it is that a lot of the a percentage of the cows that have gone out are the lower producers.
Right.
Lower genetics, lower producers. Another big part of this is that there's an issue on production with overcrowding. So when, you know, prices were good, free stalls, sometimes there's a certain level of overcrowding you can do. If you start pushing more than that, production declines, even though you have a good cow. You open that up a little more, you have a little more room at the feed bunk, production per cow goes up. And I think that's all those things working together, you know, have allowed or given opportunity for this higher production per cow that we've seen, even though those have gone down.
Yeah, it is interesting to see how this is all going to shake out in the end. Okay, on the risk management side, first off, Bill Northey, USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey, announced last week that they pushed back the sign up for the dairy margin coverage. Are you one of the guys that says, listen, just go get signed up?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a no-brainer. You can, and for the cost, and really for the 5 years, where you can go into the $9.50 coverage for the 5 years, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a fairly reasonable cost for that. And look back, you know, the whole year so far already, there's been payments every month. Yeah. Now, when we have the next ag prices report out on Friday, there may not be a payment anymore. But you know, you've had payments up until this point in time, that's way more than paid for this year already.
Right. Yeah, so go in and get signed up on that. But what else are we looking at? What else should we be watching? What should we be thinking about in managing the risk to revenue as we get through the end of the year?
Well, the main thing that you need to look at is income over feed. I mean, that's where the profitability is. Because we can look at, and that's kind of what the DMC is based off of.
Yep.
But if we look at income over feed in general, that's where the profitability is, because we could see, and we've seen it already, where grain prices go up, milk prices go down, vice versa. Of course, vice versa is always better.
Yep.
But we can't put all of our eggs in just a DMC,
right.
Because, you know, the prices can, milk prices can fall and you still don't get any payment.
Right.
You have to kind of go together utilizing the markets as themselves as well. But the primary focus should be that income over feed, because that's what's going to make it or keep the profitability or build equity for the farm. But now we have this futures and options market's been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to approach this kind of a market, I think, is with options or option strategies, because we don't want to put a cap on our price, especially after coming off of 4.5 years of low prices.
Right.
The other thing that's nice is the dairy revenue protection insurance that has been implemented that allows us to go 5 quarters out for a price subsidized by the government. You can choose from 80% to 95% coverage. Payment is done after the quarter. It provides a nice floor. It's directly off the milk price. You can do its components, or you can do your class prices. Now, we have to realize, though, that if you do 95%, you're going to cut down your average by about 80 cents a hundred. But it does fit in well. And those programs now this year, the end of this year and this upcoming year, are going to be very important tools that we can use, because, again, we don't want to cap our upside. We want to leave some flexibility there, but we want to focus on what do we need for cost production so that we can protect our income over feed.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, you're hammering home the point. You got to know your costs. And when you can generate some revenue above those costs, after what the dairy guys have gone through, Robin, why wouldn't you do that?
Because the price is going higher.
Yeah. I hear you.
We all have heard those stories, and it is difficult, because coming out of the lows, we don't want to do anything. Even if it's paying the premium for an option insurance policy, there's just some hesitancy doing that. Once things look better, you know, some of the concern and the hurt and everything that's been going through in the low period, that dissipates fairly quickly.
But you said it earlier, Robin, the easiest way to manage risk, or maybe the most effective way to manage risk, is when that market is pushing to the upside. After
Correct.
It reaches a high and starts to set back, it can be even harder to pull the trigger.
Yeah, because now you think, okay, it's going to come back because we've been up here. Yeah. And, you know, it's always difficulties, well, I shouldn't say difficult. The saying is always it comes down faster than it went up.
Yeah.
And when the price goes up a lot of times, I still catch myself after doing this for 23 years saying, it's not going to come down any faster than it went up.
Right.
And it does all the time.
Yep.
So just take, for instance, last week when we got over $19 in October futures, there were some customers and stuff that pulled the trigger, did some options, price was going up. Hey, this is a good price, let's do it. Well, now it's a dollar 108 below that already, just from last week.
Right.
But to try to catch it now after it topped that, the day it topped, it went limit down. How are you going to catch that?
Exactly. The way you catch it is by selling it on the day when it was limit up.
That's right.
that's how right. You avoid that.
And that's why I'm a big promoter now of an option because, hey, get an option out at $19, which we could, and then, hey, if it goes to 2021, so what? Mm-hmm. But if it falls back off again, yeah, hey, you got some coverage under there, but what are you trying to protect?
Right. You're trying to protect the difference between the revenue that you're generating on that milk and what you're paying for the feed. I've only got about 30 seconds here, Robin, but do you favor getting your feed locked in?
Yes. Okay. Yep, we've been promoting getting our feed locked in for a while here. Even forward contracting or buy some call options or call option spreads. Well, you know, it looks like we're having some difficulties with the exports. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, a lot of things can change fairly quickly. And, I mean, we're heading into, it looks again, like a wet fall.
Right.
And could be some difficulties there. We could get some progress on tariff. We could see some business pick up a little bit more on corn down the road here. We never know. We don't know what our yields are going to be yet. So, you know, instead of saying, hey, you know what? It's
know your cost.
It looks good. I'm not going to do anything, and then all of a sudden you're 50 cents a bushel higher.
Thank you, Robin.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Great conversation there with Robin. He was talking about prices going up slower than what they come down. It's the old up an escalator, down an elevator shaft theory of how this milk price moves. And then know your costs, right? Know your costs. That's what he was talking about there at the end when he said, yep, we're in favor of getting your feed covered. Once you've got your feed covered from the corn to the protein to the forage, you've got that taken care of. You know where your costs are. Then you can really do a good job of managing that revenue locking in the positive returns when they are available. All right, let's get to Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How are you today, Kerry? It's good to talk with you again.
You too, Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Don't forget, Kerry's got a 2-week free trial to the Artak Advisory ready for you. All you got to do is go to Artak, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com, and Kerry will get you signed up there. All right, Kerry, let's kick it off with Dease Corn.
Yeah, thanks. Dease Corn, just a recap, you know that 2 weeks ago we tested a long-term floor of support at 351 3/4. And following that test, I consider it likely that over the next 3 to 5 months, the broader corn market will recover up to 425 even. On the way up, 383 1/4, which is in reach this week, can contain buying into October, yet a weekly settlement Friday above 383 1/4 maintains accelerated price recovery into October trade. That 425 even 3 to 5 month target I mentioned a moment ago then likely reached over the following 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader corn market can tap out through winter. Now, downside, and I don't see it happening right now this week or even between now and the end of October, but a clear weekly settlement Friday below 351 3/4 would be considered a significant sell signal into next year, then expecting 315 even over the next 3 to 5 weeks, with 221 even not out of the question by this time next year. But that's not happened, and I'm not expecting it. I just need to cover it. Holding above 351 3/4, still expecting 425 even, say, by the turn of the year. on to November beans. The November contract, into November contract expiration, I show a floor of support below the market at 848 even, and a significant ceiling overhead at 931 even. And inside this wide area, the dynamic into autumn trade remains congestive and largely non-directional. I think there's a decent chance we'll test that 931 even ceiling, say, by the end of October. And if so, that area can contain buying into November expiration. On the other hand, a weekly settlement above 931 even indicates several months of bullish continuation up to 1008 even, which is a significant resistance area on the weekly charts. This upper area, 1008 even, able to contain broader market, which would include both the January and March 2020 contracts buying through spring of next year. A downside, while certainly not expected between now and Nov expiration, a weekly settlement below 848 even indicates $8 even within about 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader bean market can bottom out through the balance of year and quite possibly into next spring.
Okay.
And finally, December live cattle. 2 weeks ago,
yes,
when the October contract was lead and reflected on the long-term weekly charts, we tested an anticipated long-term floor of support that's now at 93.75. That had been a target since last May, and now that the broader cattle market has tested that long-term floor, it remains primed for continued recovery over the next 2 to 3 months to 116 even, which is to say the December contract. On the way up, 109.62, possibly in reach this week, can contain buying into October, yet a weekly settlement Friday above 109.62 should accelerate that 116 even target to within about 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader cattle market can actually top out through winter. Now, downside, it's highly unlikely December live cattle will test 93.75 anytime soon. But just a reminder that it represents a long-term floor of support above which 116 even remains a 2 to 3 month target. And quite honestly, as I mentioned a couple times over the last couple of weeks, the lower 130s wouldn't surprise me again, say, by next summer.
Okay. You know, every time you say that, it perks me right up when I hear that lower 130s by summer. I love hearing that, Kerry. I love hearing it.
Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
It's a long-term horizontal channel formation, the bottom of which is 93.75. The top is around 130 even. So we tested the bottom. We could, over the next, 6-9 months, go right back up to the top again.
Excellent, Kerry. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chip. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You bet. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Let's go straight to Greg out in Nebraska. Greg, how are you? Welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip. Thanks for taking my call. As always, I love your show. Longtime listener. Every day as I drive around the beautiful Cornhusker State. Quick question on the ethanol subsidy issue. What's the best way to talk to non-farm people about why the subsidy should still exist and why it's such a big deal with what the Trump administration is doing currently? How do you talk to people about why it should still remain and how to look at that, I guess,
Greg, when you say subsidy, are you talking about the mandate?
Yeah, I'm talking about the mandate.
Okay. Yeah, because there is a difference. Early on, there were some additional incentives out there to the ethanol producers, but the mandate, it's pretty easy to argue that it's not a subsidy. So I'm really cautious when the ethanol and the subsidy term get thrown together. Now, mandate and the blending obligations and the blending requirement, it's all about market access. Big oil's had dominance over this market for a long time. All the RFS and the mandate is doing is asking for a fair chance to get into the market. That's all it's really asking for, and I think that's a decent way of explaining it, Greg. So, make sense?
Okay. Yep.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Jeff.
Thank you. That's Greg from Nebraska. Real quick, I'm going to give you this. The National Weather Service 6-to-10-day outlook. This is for September 29th through October 3rd. Still got above normal temperatures over most of the Corn Belt. The exception would be the Dakotas, where we are expected to see below normal temperatures for September 29th through October 3rd. We've got above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. And when we jump out to that 8-to-14 day for October 1st through the 7th, the below normal temperatures continue to push in from the northwest, pushing those above normal temperatures further into the eastern belt. The center belt is looking at normal to above normal temperatures, cold temperatures up in the Dakotas. But hey, and what everybody is watching is the call for above normal precipitation, and that is still in the outlook right into the end of the first week of October. All right, thanks for listening today. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to answer the question, what is a wetland, not a wetland? And tomorrow afternoon, we got Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Thanks to the Syngenta Midwestern Agronomy Team for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta agronomist about weed management and other best practices that meet the needs of your farm.